Welcome, everybody, to the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up. We're going to have, we're sponsored, by the way, by Colorado Citizen Press, a great blog site, the best blog site for conservatives here in Colorado.
Right,
Julie.
It's ColoradoCitizenPress.com. It's one of the sites I go to every morning and then every night. You know, when you go through your sort of circle of sites, I always like to check in this one. You're going to get, like we like to say, the truth straight up on this site.
Yeah, yes, you are.
It gives you the conservative view, doesn't pull any punches, and it is just a great counter and explanation.
And we'll have some folks on there later in the week.
Right,
discuss
Jacob.
A couple of their great articles they have on kind of, you know, who down at the Capitol is good, who is bad, and all the way through. So that'll be great later this week.
And I want to remind folks, too, you can always, a couple ways to hook in. You can go to chuckandjulie.com. That's probably the easiest way. If you go there, that's going to give you a link to everywhere you need to go. And, you know, a lot of you, we're going to have Jan Cook on later today. Our great friend Ben is on. If you want to come on with video and audio, you do that by simply going to chuckandjulie.com. It's going to send you to BBS, and there'll be a link there. So I wanted to start off today. Over the weekend was caucus day.
We'll go into the coronavirus, and we'll go into stock market and all that a little bit later in the show.
Exactly. But want to start off with our good friend, Republican grassroots strategist, George Anthonisopoulos. Hey, George, you know, I've been promoting this saying, you hate to say I told you so, but you're here to say I told you so.
That's all he ever does. And he's always right.
You're like so, Chuck, huh?
Yeah, you're always right.
So thanks, George. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I hate the fact that I have to come on and be like, hey, this is what happened. This is what we said, I don't know, 2 years ago or whenever, because it's always bad. It's never good. It's never the we say, hey, this is going to be fantastic, and then it is. It's always the opposite, and it's not because it's opinion. Again, it's the number. It's what's written in the statute. The second and third order effects are obvious to people, really anyone paying attention. And then the downside is we act surprised when the obvious happens.
Yeah. Then what we're talking about are the weekend, the caucuses over the weekend. This is traditionally, before Props 107 and 108, the place where both Republicans and Democrats would get together. And it was sort of a grassroots, in the best sense of the word, effort where neighbors, community members got together, talked about issues, talked about candidates, and that's how we selected our candidates. As you can imagine, the elite establishment and donor class on both sides, as I keep saying, don't like us pesky voters having a say. So they continually have changed things. And I think Chuck is right. The word is rigged the system so that our vote matters less and less. So George,
I'm not sure in this case it's rigged, but they've changed
the rules.
They've arranged the rules so that the only thing will matter is money, and they have the money. Are you going to Larry's place on the 13th?
Larry Mizell. From
yeah, Larry Mizell. They all are, right?
Where it costs $100,000 to get in.
You know, there's some cheaper tickets you can get. And so, you know, whoopee-doo. I mean, that's who wants to run everything. And now, hey, guess what? We're going to have a special state Republican Party right here in Westminster. Yes, sirree. Right here in Westminster. And who are they bringing in as a big guest speaker? No, it's not Mitt Romney. I'm sorry. You guessed Mitt Romney, but it's Marco Rubio. I mean, you know, bland, rhino, Marco Rubio, who used to be great, just like Cory Gardner used to be great.
Well,
but that's typical. I mean, it's just so typical. Can you bring a conservative, a Trump-like conservative, not somebody who, you know, showed his hands up and everything else, showing everything?
Mark Meadows, maybe,
Jim Jordan. Mark and Jim Jordan, everybody else. But no, this is perfect for the Richies.
Right.
This
well,
is
and George, and so what we're talking about is that over the weekend, both Democrats and Republicans lamenting the fact that at the caucuses were, I think to say, sparsely attended, is putting it mildly.
Even on the Democratic side, we had every reason to
right.
come out.
So, George, what was the turnout at your side, and why do you think, what's going on?
First of all, let's be perfectly clear. We said this was going to happen. Yeah. In fact, I was on your show, and we talked about this when Propositions 107, 108 passed, because they mandated through, you know, changing the statute that the precinct caucuses were going to happen the Saturday after a Tuesday presidential primary. And we said at the time that'll have a devastating effect on turnout, because why will people give up a Saturday to go attend a precinct level caucus when they just voted in the presidential primary the Tuesday prior?
Right.
It's nonsensical. So I went to a precinct caucus, my precinct, and there were four people who attended. There was me, and there was my wife, and there were two other people. There was another precinct in the same classroom, because there was ample space, that had one person. One person attended from the other precinct. And that's devastating for the party in several respects. The first being, precinct caucuses, that's where you get your volunteers, your canvassers, the people who knock on doors. That's where you recruit them, is at caucus. If you don't have anybody showing up to caucus, guess what? You don't have anybody, you know, you're not gathering the names for canvassers, for people to be block workers. No, right. You don't have that. The second thing is, at precinct caucus, at least the way we do it in Jefferson County, that's where people run to be delegates for higher level assemblies, right? And so most of these precincts didn't have enough people attending at the precinct level to even fill the slots for the county delegations.
See, we had the same thing. There were
we had a different thing. They have a different thing. They actually pay money, and you're going to the state delegation in Adams County anyway. You just get to go to the county. You don't get to go. You can't sign up for anything else, and including the congressional district, where three of the delegates go to the national convention. So it is a different system. I have no idea why.
But same thing. There was nobody there.
Well, we had, you know, we've got Ben on. He can tell you all about it. But we had 16 precincts in our thing. It was a big room. And six of them had zero. Zippo.
Right.
None.
So the good news is
most of them had one or two. And ours, we had, six or eight?
Yeah.
We had
that's because
us two, Ben and his wife, very nice guy who's working with the Cory Gardner campaign, and his mom, and another guy named Steve who lives over the Windings. That's it. And we were the fun group. I mean, we were action oriented. We were laughing. We were arguing. We had a lot of fun, but we were it.
Here's the thing. I mean, the good news is Chuck was elected a delegate. When you run for something, you know, you win, right? I was elected minion, as I keep saying.
Here's two problems with that.
Zero.
You have if you're not filling all these roles, guess what? You're not collecting the badge fees. So the county parties are still required to hold an assembly. So are the congressional districts. So is state. But if you don't have enough people to fill the slots, you're not collecting the badge fees that pay for the event. And some counties use assembly as a fundraiser. The problem is they're going to be in the hole because they can't fill all the delegate slots. And in Jefferson County, we elect delegates all the way up to state. You know, I'm a delegate not only to county, but to the 7th Congressional District and to state, and I paid, but, you know, what about the other precincts? They didn't send, they didn't elect delegates because they didn't have anybody.
Well, you know, what's happened before is the establishment goes, well, we'll just put candidates in.
We'll
just fill them in. You don't have to elect them. We'll pay the fees. And therefore, you know, we'll just fill them with our own guys. In the Adams County, I don't think they'll allow that. But God did, you know, in El Paso County, they'd be happy.
Well, and here's the thing.
So
I want to use George, and then you can comment on this. The Democrat primary, the Senate primary, is a perfect example of what it is they're trying to accomplish by killing the caucus system, by having the open primary and having the caucuses after you've already voted in the presidential primary. So the problem is that in the caucuses, it looks as if Andrew Romanoff won. Right. He won the caucus. Meaningless. Right. Meaningless. John Hickenlooper is going the petition route because he has the money to get the petition signed, which costs what? Anywhere from $8 to $14 per signature. So you got to have
it's not meaningless because they do it differently than Republicans. But But it will get Andrew Romanoff on the ballot, and he will face, assuming he wins it or gets a certain percentage, he will, in fact, get on the ballot without having to pay millions of dollars, well, not millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars for the signatures.
But the bottom line, though, is, George, is it gives the advantage, which is what they want, to the person who has the big money backers. Not only that, they're going to turn around and they're going to look and say, see, look, no one came to caucuses this year. Let's just get rid of them altogether. Your thoughts on that? And then we got some phone calls, so we'll go to those.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, you had Jeff Hayes, a former party chair, the gentleman I ran against. He actually posted an op-ed that said he doesn't like candidates being able to gain ballot access through the caucus because it is too low a bar to pass, meaning that the masses like you us, like the peasants, we shouldn't have ballot access. It should be a bar that you should have this much money to even begin to compete for office. And they are absolutely killing not just caucus, but the party, really, because how many people are going to show up at the state assembly? I went
not
in 2018.
It was a disaster last state assembly, which we were told by Jeff Hayes that this is going to be great. We're going to have this great, wonderful thing. And Karen Cataline went to both of them. And the Democrat and the Republican one, and it said one was great and one was a kind of a disaster. Well, you can get which party was a disaster and which one was great.
Hey, that spring we've got Barb Neville on George. You got Barb Neville on the phone with us, so we want to bring her in. Hey, Barb, thank you for calling in. What's your thoughts on all of this? You there, Barb? Okay. Hey, Barb, I'm not sure if you wanted to talk or not. So if you want to talk, just unmute yourself. Maybe let's go to Ben, though. Ben Nicholas, you were the precinct chair there. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. Talk about, was there a time when those rooms were full? And talk about what's going on.
Sure. Do you remember when, Chuck, you came to the very first one when you moved here in Westminster, and we had it at the school. You remember there was a lot of people there. I think there were 12 or 13 at our precinct, 46. And that room was pretty well packed. But ever since that point in time, and George knows this because we had kind of worked together on trying to opt out of the Proposition 108. Yes, this has been declining ever since then. And that's I believe that George is right. You know, I mean, this party is trying to kill it. You have to also remember that even though we had the presidential primary, we have not hit the other primary election yet, and that takes place in June.
Right.
And so even though Romanoff and Hickenlooper are both, you know, running for the same position over there, I'm thinking it's going to be a madhouse because you're going to have this confusion going on. And a lot of people who voted for in the presidential election thought, well, that's it. We're done. So it's not the case. It's a lot of confusion. So, I think there's a – go ahead.
The other thing is that in presidential years, it's when we get all the excitement, which is when if you have a contested one, you know, in the Democrat side, you bring out the Bernie people to go to the caucuses and the Hickenloopers and everyone else, assuming he was going to contest it. And so where do you get your volunteers?
Right.
Well, the presidential years – time to get all your volunteers because not in off election years, but this year, this is the time you stack up on everything and they know it. And the rotten establishment in Colorado, and it is rotten, know this and they will destroy the party. Unlike the Democrats, who have thousands of people who can go door to door.
From Planned Parenthood and teachers union.
Well, because they're dependent upon government funding. Without the government funding, they get nothing. We have no such people. And you know, I've heard, and I know, you know, I think George has heard, you know, the spiel that Cory Gardner gives. And it sounds great, but it's all BS. He's, I had so many in 2014. It was amazing. I did this and that. What a ground game I had. He had no ground game. They picked up a few ballots from people who would probably give him anyway. And George can speak to it because he's looked at the financials.
Well, this is just picking at it.
I was going to say, this is picking at a scab with George and I, because we've always pounded the table about getting a ground game going. George had some really excellent points in a presentation he made down at the, I think it was the Arapaho Tea Party meeting, right, about a year or more ago, where he pointed out exactly how pitiful the Republican Party used the money that it generated, and how the difference in the Democrats and how they applied it. It was staggering to see that.
George, that's what's going to have to happen. Let's have you go through that a little bit, because I think that gets to the very bottom line here of why, like, us pesky voters matter.
Well, I would say two things. The first is, yeah, we can't be certain as to why our political bettors want this system, why they support it.
That's a hard one.
107, 108.
That's a Mensa level test.
But you know, the argument can be made that, you know, they don't like the idea of contested primaries, or they don't like the idea of candidates other than the ones they support getting the nomination. The problem is when you weaken the party and you disenfranchise average Republicans, you have a hard time fielding candidates, even one candidate, to run for office. And what you're seeing is that there are a lot of races right now that either don't have a Republican running at all, or they found a Republican that is running out of almost an obligation. Like, yes, I will run because someone has to run. We can't just not compete in these. So one of the second order effects of weakening the party and disenfranchising average Republicans is you don't find candidates to run for these offices. Right. And speaking as a former candidate who received not only no support from the party, but couldn't even get phone calls returned, why in God's name would you run as a Republican knowing that that's the level of support that you're going to get? Now,
and you know what? Let me point out something else, too. So, for instance, at our caucus, and if people want to chime in, 888-627-6008. We'll take phone calls, 888-627-6008. At our caucus, there was a great guy, Steve, who, number one, pointed out how hard it was to figure out even where to show up and when. And he kept saying, and we all were kind of like, oh, man, Steve, that's so sweet that you think that. He's like, shouldn't the party do something more to make it easier for people to get here? And he's like, do they have a reason for not? And you're like, well, Steve. But, I mean, there were various proposals, various ideas, and this is where you got a chance to talk about it, right? And so people were saying, well, I think this, and I think this, and then we would vote. And that's where it starts, right? Rather than having some lobby group that's being paid a ton of money by some special interest group tell you why you should vote for something or not vote for something, or what some of the reasons are, why not talk to your friends and neighbors, right? And this just, to me, that it starts to erode some of the very... it's eroding some of the very basic things that the democracy and the voting system is based on.
Yeah, and it's... They are sowing the seeds for the destruction of the Republican Party in Colorado, as if they haven't done enough to destroy the party already.
We're always supposed to be endlessly grateful to Phil Anschutz and Cousin Pete Kors and the Stevensons and everyone else. We got a train coming?
Uh-oh.
Cool.
Look out, don't get off the track here.
for dominating everything, having their vicious... And they are vicious.
Oh, when they primary our own people,
try to get them indicted. I mean, they're just, and we always thank them. Oh, thanks, you guys, you know, endlessly.
Thanks for Walker Stapleton.
Yeah, thanks for Walker. He was tremendous. You know, and thank us for Corey. Boy, he's a good one. Actually,
but
he's a good candidate.
Thank us for Tom Tancredo.
No Tom Tancredo, and no George Anthopoulos, and no some of the others. But I want to go
know,
to
that's
another.
An excellent example.
Right.
That you used, and that was the Stapleton, because right. Stapleton chose to go the primary route, or I mean the petition route, as opposed to the caucus route.
And then he had to
and
switch
he failed,
over.
And then they had a midnight exec meeting, and the night before the state assembly, and then they allowed him to come in.
Right.
So, I mean, that again shows you what the power is at the top of this party. they don't want the grassroots talking.
No.
Those of us, you know, that attend caucus like we did. And the other thing is that you get into conversations when you start bringing your resolutions.
Right.
And that's where the exchange of ideas happen as to how the party is going to be better if it adopts certain positions.
No, Ben, we're just supposed to be listening to highly paid but ineffective mailers. Well, George,
let me ask one other thing, George. Who's running the Republican Party today? I mean, who?
We
know Ken. Yeah, we know Ken Buck is back on in Washington. He's a congressman, right? He comes out and is supposed to be raising money. And I like Ken, and, you know, that's fine. Who's running the Republican Party? Go on the website. And I did this morning. Who's running it? There's no one. There's no one.
Well, formerly,
Edinburg is running the Republican Party. He came up to Adams County, nowhere to be noted. He has no office. He has no position. He does nothing officially. And that's it. And when people say, well, the Republican Party wants this, who?
Yeah.
Who? Who in the Republican Party wants this? There are none. Well, there's nobody down there anymore. We got LX, well, and that's great. But
sure. Go ahead, George. I know Chuck's going on a rant. Well, we got to calm him down.
I'm gonna paraphrase a famous line by saying, I'm not a member of a competent, right, organized political party. I'm a Colorado Republican. And
that was Will Rogers' great line back in the 30s for Democrats. I don't belong to an organized group. I belong to the Democratic Party.
As you said,
but Jeff Hayes is still a registered agent.
Yeah.
Right.
George, where do you see this?
There's your answer.
Yeah. Where do you see this going, George? You were right on this. Right. What else? You and Chuck, we're going to have to get you a button too. It's like Chuck is right again. George is right again. What else do you tragically predict yourself being right about?
So I went to an invitation only grassroots Tea Party event where Cory Gardner was the guest speaker. And, you know, I attended. I wanted to see what was all about. And that, frankly, the Jeffco Liberty Alliance, you know, all the Tea Party groups in Jefferson County sponsored it, and it was a great event. And I'll give it to Cory, like, he has incredible political skill. He walks into the room, he makes a connection with the voters, he starts talking stories, he gives a little bit of his stump speech, he answers questions, he does all these things, and he does it exceptionally well at a very high level. And I stood up and I asked him about the ground game and ballot harvesting. And he gave an answer that sounded really good. Like, he was like, oh, it's something we're going to do, and it's really important. And in 2014, we had, you know, this many people, and it was just fantastic, and everything's awesome and amazing. The problem is, as I've said on this show before, is in 2014, he did hire a bunch of people, but they were all employed more or less in the month of October for an average duration of about 3 weeks. So that does not a ground game make. If I'm looking at him in 2020, if you look at all the Senate candidates across the country, he ranks 8th in fundraising, $11,130,965.39 to date. Right? He's
right.
Number 8. If you stack him against Hickenlooper, which Hickenlooper had a late start, but Hickenlooper's raised just shy of $5 million, mm-hmm, right? But the problem is, when you get to how Cory is spending it, he's not paying, at least through the latest FEC report, not a single dollar for rent, which means he has no offices.
You're right, they're at the Trump office, but that's not the field offices. Yeah.
Yeah, like the standing political offices that we have are not storefronts. Remember, for Obama's reelect in Ohio, they used the Starbucks model, which is they had storefronts. Like, their campaign offices were meant to be seen and easily accessed by, you know, voters. And I know that's crazy to think about, but that was the model. Most of the political offices that we have now, starting with the state headquarters, are nondescript, in nondescript office buildings, and virtually impossible to find if you know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going,
right,
the average, the the average voter has a 0% chance of stumbling into an office accidentally.
Yeah.
Zero. So
it's not funny,
So
it's really not funny, but it's amazing. I mean, it's just, and I've heard Corey's same speech. We had this many in 2014. I said, you didn't have anybody until it was too late.
Well,
Corey.
But you guys,
and wait a minute.
Okay.
To you, too late, and it, you know, you're lucky you pulled out the little victory you had because you had the world's worst candidate. You are going to get your head handed to you unless you learn how to campaign, and you don't know how to campaign. You do not. People do not know how to run a campaign.
It was a midterm, and it was a wave Republican year. There were less than a million votes cast.
Right.
And, you know, or he earned less than a million votes, excuse me, and he won by a margin, I think, of about 36,000 votes.
But you guys are forgetting, the poor consultants, right? The consultants, you know, George and everybody, the consultants are making a ton of money here. And that's what this is all about, George. It's not, once again, we can't leave it to the voters. We're all too dumb to decide. I mean, for Pete's sakes, like I said, we would have voted for Tom Tancredo, the Democrats, so they would vote for Andrew Romanoff. We can't have that kind of nonsense going on. So we have to pay for mailers that are ineffective. We got to pay for TV commercials that don't do any good. And then we have to keep the rest of the money. I mean, that's the system we have.
If you look at his, you know, we talked about him raising the eighth most in the country. But raising is only half the equation. In fact, I would argue it's less than half. It's how you spend the money that really matters. If I'm looking at the sums, and I just ran a report in the few minutes leading up to the show, in terms of salaries for this cycle, he spent about $113,000 for staff, for people. And that includes everybody from his chief of staff down to paid canvassers. So everybody who gets paid by his campaign goes into that. It's only $113,000. You compare that to, I don't know, $138,000, almost $139,000 just for polling, right? So just getting people's opinions is, you know, he spent more money on that, which if you had people actually knocking on doors, the best way to figure out what voters want is, you know, by asking them face to face.
And here's the thing. What's ridiculous? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait for it. One of my biggest criticisms about 2018, because of how ineffective it was the direct mail.
Yes.
So to he's already spent $177,594.60.
Victory.
Again, a victory for the consultants. You're kidding.
Let's go over this again.
So Cory Gardner, while the Democrats are out knocking on doors, registering, finding their unaffiliated voters, all that kind of stuff, Cory Gardner has spent $113,000 on people, $177,000 on consultants, basically, in the form of the direct mailers. I mean, that's just... Did they learn nothing, George? Oh, George, this is depressing me. Did they learn nothing?
Yeah, they learned a lot. They made a lot of money. I mean, consultants each made $1 million.
In terms of evidence of what I can see, they apparently learned nothing. And remember, given population growth, given the higher than expected turnout, if you get into graphs and curves and all the other stuff, Cory Gardner, in order to have a chance at winning, is going to need about 1.51 million votes. And that's using numbers that are a couple months old. So you're talking about upping his total vote get from 2014 to 2020 by 50%, over 50%. And right now, I'm not seeing how he's going to get that. Now, he's going to try and ride the Trump coattails, which those are significant.
Right,
and Trump he did come to Colorado. He's going to come to Colorado again. And he's going to be, you know, he's going to attempt to compete here. But what I would say is Colorado is a different animal than a lot of these other swing states just because of our all-male ballot elections.
No, it's not the all-male ballot. It's the all-male ballot with harvesting.
With harvesting.
Without harvesting,
we
could win. But without the harvesting, we cannot win. Absent some extra, you know, Bernie Sanders had come and he totally tanked. Maybe you could pull it out here in Colorado. But I want to talk about a whole other subject.
Because we only just got a couple minutes here. Because we got to go to Jan.
We'll go to Jan, but I want to get this in.
Can I just jump in here?
Sure.
For a second. Sure. I pulled up that report that George put together for us. The Stapleton ground game was $48,186. It represented $48,186.82. In Polis, he spent $3,649,201. So he spent 15% of his income there on that ground game. That's what George is so brilliant about, is analyzing the data and pointing this out. That's what we have no ground game. How can you compete if you're not even on the ground gathering this data?
And here's an important point. The Democrats, that's what Polis spent. So he spent a much higher percentage of a significantly larger hard money budget on canvassing ground game ballot harvesting. But he also had a significant soft money operation that did the same thing to support him. Conservation Colorado spent two-thirds of their $5 million budget just that, and that's one soft money committee on the Democrat side. The Republicans have no corresponding like committee. We have no ground game. If we don't build it, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't I want to put everybody on hold while we bring Jan in. Can we do that real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so George, I'm going to put you on hold a second. Ben, everybody else, hang on. But let's go. Yeah. Here's the thing. So Jan is our roving reporter. Jan's with Colorado Freedom Force, keeping tabs on things at the Capitol. So we'll get back to the other stuff and the money, but I don't want to keep her waiting because I know she's got stuff to do. So Jan, you are at the convention center. This is going to be hopeful. We're going to have a brief period of hope here. What are you, why are you at the convention center? What's going on there?
Well, this is the final day for the early bird tickets for people to get their early bird tickets for the Western Conservative Summit. And this is where the Western Conservative Summit will be home for, at the Colorado Convention Center on June the 12th and also on the 13th. So they have till midnight tonight to get, it's only $169 for 2 days of exhibits and workshops and books and authors and all kinds of stuff.
And then we're going to be there. Okay, so that's, and you need to do that by midnight tonight. If not, you can do it afterwards. So that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. Another thing, too, I see you and the Colorado Freedom Force folks have been promoting, I think this is great, the MAGA hat rally at the Denver City Council meeting tonight.
Yes.
Councilman, for folks who don't know, Councilwoman, self-proclaimed communist, Candy C. DeBaca, was essentially supporting a snarky tweet to say that if you get coronavirus, go infect all the Trump supporters. So you guys got the great idea of showing up. So tell folks what's going on there and what people can do.
So Hugo Chavez from the Hispanic Republican Club actually put this on. And I believe Christina Cook, who is the chair of the Republican Party, have invited people to come out because we're so tired of people being able to say things like this on the left and having complete It's sanctioned. It's okay if they say this.
And She's the victim, Jan. She's the victim, the mainstream media says. Yeah.
And they expect us to be polite and go away because most of us are working and we're working on projects and we can't always show up for these things. But we're making a special effort to get people out there at the Denver City Council meeting. It's at 14th and Bannock. They can find the event itself if they want to go to Facebook. But it's really easy. Just internet search a Denver City Council. They'll find where they have to go. We're asking people to arrive a half an hour early. The meeting actually starts at 5:30. But if they can get out there between 4:30, 5 o'clock, we'll do some photo ops. And there's also a metal detector. So they just need to know that they're going to have to go through security when they get there as well. So
and
we want them at 20.
And one thing I will tell folks, don't be late. I mean, I've covered a million Denver City Council meetings. And sometimes, particularly if something like this is going up, they can wrap those meetings up pretty darn quick or go into executive session or something like that. So, we might have lost Jan. So, all right. And Jan, though, by the way, one thing before we go back to everybody else. Jan, thank you, number one. Thank you, number one. But also, we're trying to do a lot more of these live cut-ins with Jan. The mainstream media is not covering stuff that's going on at the state capitol. We'll have dozens and dozens of moms show up to talk about parental rights bills, things like that. Nobody covers it. Well, Jan and other Colorado Freedom Force folks are there with their phones. We want to start just popping in and out, you know, live streaming, that kind of thing, just so everybody knows what's going on. Here's the thing, though. YouTube won't let us live stream via phones.
Unless.
unless we have 1,000 subscribers. So this is my son, Rev, says, Mom, you got to ask. So I would really appreciate it if people could go to chuckandjulie.com. You just click on the little YouTube link there. It'll take you right to our YouTube channel and you can subscribe. Doesn't cost anything. We don't send you, you know, pesky emails or anything like that. But the sooner we can get to 1,000, the sooner we can start covering some of these things live. And I think, Chuck, it's going to be really important because, you know, at the end of the session, it's been bad enough already, but it's at the end of the session where they really try to sneak everything in. So
that's
our thing there. So, okay, take it back over, George. And
Chuck, no, Chuck. The one I want to talk about, George, I know you signed up to be a PCP. I think I understood that correctly. Is that correct?
It's not because I was the... I won a competitive election.
You were the only one there.
No, it's not the only one there. It's the hardest. It's the only position that matters in the Republican Party. Almost. It requires all the work. You're the one who pounds on all the doors.
You're the one for us.
Well, I'm the one for us. Not because I raised my hand. It's because no one else would do it. And so I kind of indicated to another person that, why don't you and I do it? Because you need two. But the reason I want to do it, I'm sure it's the same reason as George, or maybe it's different, was the fact that I wanted to be shoveling the coal in the boiler room, the SS Titanic, when it goes down.
I don't need to laugh. I shouldn't laugh.
Because I want to see exactly what's going to happen. And here, and Ben can probably confirm this, what they'll have me do, which I'm not going to do, what they'll have me do, they'll give me a list of all the Republicans.
Oh, you call them.
Not call them. You stop by their house. You knock. If they're not there, you leave a hanger. And unaffiliateds, you know, hanger and so forth. And they may shoot you. They may not. They may be for you, which is great to know if they're there and you can talk to them. That is the wrong thing to do because I've run elections. I've won elections and I've lost elections. Here's what you have to do. All the people who voted in the primaries, you don't need to go by. They're going
to
be voting.
Yeah,
they're automatic voters.
They're automatic voters.
If they send it in on the primary, you don't have to get them. There's no purpose to it. The only people in the Republican side, and I'll go to the unaffiliates, is all the people who didn't show up. And then you need to look at their voting history, which they won't provide, but I'll get from the Secretary of State their voting history. And their voting history will tell you they skip primaries, vote in regular ones. They don't do either one. Now, that person, I need to go see. I need to convince him to vote. I have to know him. I don't need to know the person next door that always votes. I need the person, Republican, who never votes and convince him to vote, to get out there. And I need to know his dog and his kid's name. So when I come back two or three times, when he won't be voting again because they're not just used to it, I'll knock on the door. Hey, Bob.
It's me, good Chuck, to see your dog. Julie.
We got to get that ballot in. I told you how important it was to me personally. I mean, I know it doesn't care that much to you, but I'd really appreciate as a personal favor if you could hand me the one. I'll bring it right in. If I can bring out
Get your win number.
Well, no. If I can bring in 10 people who wouldn't have otherwise voted, just Linda, the other one, can bring in 10. That's 20 votes in this precinct. How many precincts are there? I'm not sure. Maybe Ben can tell us, but maybe 1,000. That's 20,000 votes. For me to spend my Saturday, going around knocking on doors of people who already vote, will always vote, is asinine. But that's what the Republican Party will try to make me do, and I'm not doing it. I'm going to actually help them because they don't know how to win an election. They don't know how to run an election. They have not the slightest idea. So I'm going to try to know all those people. In this, basically, it's Highland Hills East and
the Wanderings. Large, really.
Well, it's about 1,000 houses, I think, maybe a little less than that.
No, it's 225.
In what? No, not in the whole precinct. There's 225 in Highland Hills West Association, but this extends, you know, to the other side of
well, either way, it's a doable. George,
let me finish.
Jug, you've been on tirade.
Well, I am on a tirade because I know how to win elections, and they don't.
they do. They just don't.
No, they don't. They don't want to win elections. They want to have power. They want to have their February 13th confab where they can meet Trump, they can talk about Trump, and then they expect me to pick up their garbage. And I'm sick of picking up their garbage. we're going to win this election only if somebody with a brain, and he's not back in Washington, D.C., and he's not screwing around at the Greenwood Village headquarters, never leaving his desk, that we actually go out and get the people who are not going to vote. That's who we have to get. The unaffiliates, we need some of the data that the Trump administration has, right? What are these people? Do they belong to the NRA? Or do they care about the kids go to schools? Do they go to charter schools? All the information, right? So I can take those and kind of go, okay, these are likely Trump voters. Right. And at least I can convince them. It doesn't do me any good to go, wait a minute, doesn't do me any good to go to an unaffiliated one who voted in the Democratic primary. Right. Now, there'll be a few Caroline conspiracy people, but it does no good. I can get that 10, and Linda can get that 10, and that'll make 20,000 votes difference. And the other way, which is how they want me to do it, because they're dumb and I am not, is wrong. And we're going to give them a run for their money, because we're going to bring in more people who would not otherwise vote they've ever had before. And will they care? No. Will they thank me? No. Will they thank Linda? Will they thank George? Will they thank anybody? No. Because they're rich, and they're spoiled, and they're rotten.
And what they're going to do
is... But that's just what I say. That's just my opinion.
What they're going to do in Georgia...
Can I jump in here just for a minute?
Sure.
Please? Because I've done this. The Precinct 46 has about a 95% voter turnout, Republican. So that's, I mean, it's great. But I think that you're, you know, I hate to throw cold water on it, but sometimes the data that we get from the state, it's bogus. It's wrong. Yeah. People have moved 2 or 3 years before, and you have got a family there, you're going to knock on their door that are maybe unaffiliated. This is where the big thing is, and this is what I've talked about the, we know that the Democrats have done the data mining,
right,
and they
right.
have identified all those unaffiliateds who are voting left-leaning. Those that are not voting are the right-leaning. That's the ones that we need to touch.
Exactly.
That's the ones we need to go
see what's
wrong.
That's all the Trump administration does not have bogus data. The state, who God knows where they get their data. But the Trump administration does not have bogus data.
They get it from you.
Yeah.
And they get it from us, the PCPs.
No, they don't. They have their own data mining operation in Washington, D.C.
It's from Google. I had a tablet.
I know, but that's the wrong list. They're conning you. That's a con. That's not the real list. That's not the real list they're working from. It's all a con. There's a real list back there, and they get it not from us. They don't note down what we wrote down, that, hey, Bob, the cat is Tammy, and everything else. They don't care. They throw it away.
Yeah.
What they're going to do is give us junk.
You're right.
Give us junk.
Yeah.
George, your thoughts.
And that's why you're spinning wheels.
Yeah.
George.
I'm sitting back enjoying the conversation. No, but the thing is, I hate to be cynical about it, but at least within Colorado, the drive to win is just, it's not there. And even if people intend to win, they're not doing what is necessary to win. And again, you can see it in the numbers. And you can listen to what people say, and they can tell you anything that they feel you want to hear. That doesn't make it fact. So when you have Ken Buck or Cory Gardner or any number of other candidates get up and they give their rah-rah speech designed to get Republicans excited, that might be great in the moment, but it's what they do after that really matters and can make a difference.
And it's where they spend their money. Right.
It's where they spend their money. It's, you know, the issues, those matter as well. The candidate matters as well. There are lots of things that matter. But in Colorado, because we have a system that's been designed as it has been, and we have a party that sucks, we are non-competitive.
Let's go. We got some phone calls. Let's go to, and I think if the folks at BBC, Jan Cook says she's on the line too, if we can unmute her audio. But let's go to Hugh.
And if Barb wants to come in, you know,
she can talk to
join anytime you like to, Barb.
But Father Hugh, hey, Hugh, good afternoon.
Hello, Julie. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Father.
And do I understand that I'm on with the A-man?
You are on with the A-man.
Is that right?
I'm here.
Yes.
He's here.
Hey, it's the greatest. I'm honored. I just thought I'd log in to keep my library card going.
Okay.
But also, from what I heard, George, you know, you're right. I mean, I've been wrestling with this whole thing about Gardner. And, you know, he's a nothing. And Randy Corcoran had him on, and I always said Randy must have had to use the jaws of life to get him on in the first place. And then after that, it was 15 minutes of just platitudes. And you want to shout out, can you say something about a live issue?
Yeah.
And it never comes.
Well, he's just a politician. I mean, is he any worse than any other one? Is he worse than Marco Rubio? No, he is Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
He'll be whatever you want him to be. He'll call Trump a buffoon and demand he withdraw from the campaign. And now he's going to, campaign.
That's why they need to spend all that money on the polling, so he knows what he thinks.
But with him, I mean, you know, it's always the same. You're going to vote for him probably, maybe not, but probably because he's going to be better than Hickenlooper. And he's a non-entity. He's not important. He really isn't. I mean, I don't care if he wins or he loses, but I'll probably vote for him because, you know, he's my official stooge, my official Republican establishment stooge, who looks good. His hair is really looking great.
But here's, let me ask you.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Chuck, you keep going on tirades. I am
on a tirade. But as a practical matter, you know, I am going to be the best PCP they ever had because I'm not going to listen to a damn thing they say. And I'm going to bring in voters they won't get otherwise. And if it's 95% Republican participation, let me have the other 5%. Because I'll bring them to the polls. And let me go to somebody else's district and I'll get their 10%. Because it does no good to be walking around on a Saturday, you know, knocking on doors where absolutely people are going to vote. What are you doing with your time? You know, I used to bill it out at $500 an hour. Do they want to pay that to me?
No. Well, let me ask you, George, this question, too, though, on the whole thing, though, but even further, I mean, let's talk about the impact this has on the down ticket as well, right? So if you're Cory Gardner, you got a ton of money, but that's say, you know, you're running in one of the down ticket races. Once again, I imagine just the complete sort of disarray and the lack of dealing with reality on the Republican Party. So great, you've got 8 million direct mailers going out saying vote for Cory Gardner. What does that do for the rest of the candidates? What does that do for some of the issues that we care about? You've got, you know, Initiative 76.
Well, you know, Julie, forgive me for this.
Go
but
ahead.
That's the, for me, I led you in a way down the rabbit hole. But, yeah, where I am is it's the whole bunch of the Republicans and this performance by Schumer. But, you know, we all know that.
Right.
I mean, he should be reprimanded. He should be there. 12 of the Republicans have signed this resolution of censure. And Marco then said, where are the other 41? And that's what drives me crazy.
Yep. Hugh, thank you for calling in. Your library card is stamped again. So.
Okay,
appreciate
bye.
It. Right. George, let me, because I know you're the numbers guy. Let's talk a little bit in terms of fundraising, because this goes back to, we started this talking about the abysmal showing up at the caucuses because of the way they've changed the laws in Colorado with open primaries and mail ballots and all of that. So has that impacted, from what you can see, just, you know, fundraising for the Republican Party? I got to imagine it does.
It does. And here's, let me address your question more broadly, which is what impact does all of this have on candidates? If you look at any specific cycle, it makes it very difficult to have candidates who run competitive races because every candidate, and again, I experienced it, you're on your own. There is no party support. It is what you and your friends can put together. And if you have donors and volunteers, you can build a team, and if you're in a good county, you know, Adams, Jefferson, there is some unity of effort, and there is some common purpose, and there is using resources more efficiently. but it's still incredibly difficult, and your fundraising is going to be off. You're going to have a much harder time winning elections, and it's just difficult being a candidate. The problem is if you take this and you make it you diagnose it as a cumulative effect, mm-hmm. if you have the same thing happening cycle after cycle, what you see are you have fewer people raising their hands who are willing to run,
right.
and the people you do have running, they may not be as competitive as you would like just because they are, you know, they're doing it out of obligation, or they are trying to, you know, just fill a seat on the ballot so that the Republican Party has someone. There's at least an R there in a specific race.
Right.
And
well, you know,
I've seen over the last three cycles, I've seen some really good candidates for House and Senate here within Colorado. They just got fed up and they walked away. It's not that they're not Republicans anymore, although some of them might have switched their affiliation to unaffiliated, but
right.
they're not involved. They're not running for office. They're not seeking, you know, further office.
We haven't even gotten into the donor class that attacks its own party, the Republicans that, you know, that the money that they raise goes to attacking other Republicans. I mean,
right.
I mean, we haven't even gone there. That's a whole other show.
Right.
Who lost, by the way, at the appellate court today. We'll have to get Matt Arnold on.
Oh, good.
But, you know, George, it does go to what our friend, Democrat strategist Ted Trimba has said. And he's like, you know, the Republicans in Colorado aren't going to win until they decide they want to win. And the one thing that matters is winning. And as long as we have this establishment elite group,
right.
basically, that wants to keep grassroots down, wants to stifle and silence grassroots effort, doesn't want to, you know, they don't want party enthusiasm. They just want people who will do what they pay them to do, or will get them elected and then pay them to do. It's a mess.
Here's the last thought I have for you, because I'm going to have to go after this. But
okay.
What is most – so it's disheartening that we're not competitive in Colorado and that the Democrats are going to win. What's disgusting is that – and again, mark my words, after we take a beating in November in the state of Colorado, but yet we do very well nationally, you're going to see the mouthpieces for – you know, the Republican establishment, so to speak. And I'm thinking just offhand, like Mario Nicolai, he's going to write an editorial that's going
right.
to appear
right.
in the Colorado
Colorado's blue.
Might as well
and
give
he's
up.
He's going to say, no, he's going to say that the reason we keep losing is that we field candidates that are too far to the right. And we need
to
more
yeah, too
approach.
Extreme for Colorado.
Yeah.
Too
yeah.
extreme for Colorado. And he's going to say that, we, you know, the candidates that we've fielded, you know, this cycle and then last cycle, they've been too far to the right. And, you know, that the way we fix it is we find more centrist candidates that, you know, the unaffiliated will accept and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, it's going to be disgusting because it's not rooted in reality. The reality is, we have a party that has undermined its own ability to win. It has yes. undermined the right. grassroots and your average Republicans. We right. do not contest things like the blatantly unconstitutional campaign finance limitations
no.
here in the mm-hmm. state. We continue to support a political class that cares more about control than they do winning. It is... So, yeah, I agree. We are going to lose, but it has nothing to do with, oh, we've run candidates that are too far to the right. I mean, at this point, we're lucky to have candidates with a pulse.
Well, I mean, so, we're talking to, like, Cory Gardner, right? It's not like he's that extreme, so.
Well, why don't we run Mario Nicolai, see how he does. See all the people who will be running out in the streets.
You know, I have to say, I read Mario, and then I met him at a thing. I always thought he was no offense, Mario, but I always thought he was a Democrat
well,
from reading his columns. Then he's like, no, I'm a Republican. I'm like, Are you sure? Do you read your own stuff? Hey, well, listen, George, amen. Thank you for your time again. Thank you. We'll stay in touch. Grab you when we can and appreciate your time. You know, we got a
little bit of time. Thank you.
All right. A little bit of time if people want to call 888-627-6008. I want to go back to, we lost Jan, but I wanted to, one of the things too, we're going to do with her is keep track of stuff at the legislature. Because I just think that's so important that we know what's going on, because don't you think, Chuck, of the many hopes, which granted are slim right now, but we have, it's just how whacked out the Democrats are on Capitol. If they're doing the gun laws, the parental rights laws, things like that, I think as people, we do need to stay aware, but we can't just be all depressed and give up.
Because
you're the best. See, look at that. You're going to be the best PCP captain in the universe.
Well, I will be, because I know how to, you know, not just me, I just had to do it.
And I'll be the minion.
And you'll be the minion. But it does feel good.
And Ben.
And Ben will be. I mean, it does us no good to knock on doors of people who are already going to vote.
Right.
We've got to find the people who won't vote.
And Ben.
But are Republicans, or even if they're not Republicans, they hate Democrats enough that they'll vote Republicans. Those are the ones that I've got to make friends now, not 2 weeks before the election when Cory Gardner thinks it's important.
And that's when we got Jan up real quick. Uh-oh, Jan was here. Now she's gone. I think Jan is having cell phone issues in downtown Denver at the conventions.
I wanted to just jump in and say that the last count that I saw, we have a little more than 30 races that we don't have, that uncontested. We don't have a Republican candidate, 30 of them. So they're going to take that money that would have been dedicated to holding that seat and divert it to another area so they can defeat a Republican. That's what the Democrats
exactly,
are going to do.
Ben. And that's a really good point, because there we're talking strategy, right? So maybe you're not going to win, but at the very least, you force them to spend some money on something. And you know, and you never know. Like I said, the legislature has gone nuts this year. I mean, you could, like you said, you talk to people at charter schools. You say, maybe, you know, you don't like Donald Trump, but you really care about your kid being able to go to a charter school because
and
it works
for your kid. And I went
on
the GOP list, and they've got maybe 40 different groups, you know, none charter schools, none.
And those charter schools
have educators, whatever that means, but none for charter schools.
And those charter school folks are organized. I get emails from them all the time.
And they are overwhelmingly not for the Democrats. And yet, not a, you know, all the categories they have, you know. Dozens of categories.
Well, then you look at the vaccination thing, all the stuff that's happening, you know. Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you for calling in. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, when we're gathering that data in the last 10 years that I've been involved here in Adams County, when Anil was our chairman, we went away from the state party's data set, and we started gathering our own state party kept losing it.
I know.
And they wouldn't give it back to us unless we paid. So that's why when you're out there, gathering that data like we're planning on doing, because I'm going to help you as well. I think that that's important that we maintain that information here in Adams County.
I agree. And that's sad, right? Because this is nothing better than the information we'll be getting, but that's it.
Hey, and on a plus note, though, because I want to end on a plus note.
Plus note.
I did
plus
see
note.
In our neighborhood, just around the cul-de-sac, there's a yard with two Trump signs in it.
Yes.
So there we go. So
let's go see. Let's go get their vote. Let's spend a couple hours with them. Let's kebab. Let's get bits. Let's have a good time with them.
Yep, we can say, hey, Ben, thank you.
You guys need more time. That's on the plus side.
There you go. There we go. Hey, and we want to thank the folks at ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
We're going to have them on later in the week.
Have them on later in the week. They're one of our sponsors, Colorado's Conservative Voice, a website we check all the time. We'd love to have you check out all of our podcasts. Just go to ChuckandJulie.com. You can follow us on Facebook always, but we'd also really like you, appreciate any subscriptions you can give us on YouTube. Just click on the little YouTube channel at the top right-hand corner of our website, and you can subscribe to us, and we can get Jan better phone service so we can have her on. Our thanks to everybody who listened in. Thank you to everybody who called in.
John and Doug, thank you.
Thanks to the guys at BBS. Everyone have a great day.